You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we're back here on another Purple Friday, except this one's going to be a little different. I said yesterday Matthew Stevens would be joining the show. He is a little under the weather, so it's going to be me only again today, so you get to hear my beautiful voice for the fourth day this week. And so just because Matthew isn't here doesn't mean we don't have a lot of stuff to talk about. Matthew will be back with us next week, and we'll talk about everything Ravens. Don't worry, he will be back. But for today, I'm going to make this a bit of a free agency Friday preview. Now, I know last week we talked about some outside players the Ravens could bring in, but this week I want to make it about the players that the Ravens had on their roster this season, and I want to make sure to go over which players should stay, which players should go, which players might be surprise cuts, and stuff like that. So in the second segment, we're going to get into the offensive players, and then in the third segment, we'll talk about the defensive players. And for the first segment, we're going to take a page out of Thursday's book and do some general Ravens news, notes, and quotes. Some more Pro Bowl quotes happened yesterday, so getting into those, what Lamar Jackson had to say, and a few other guys. So let's get right into all of this. But before we do that, again, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. If you hit the subscribe button, good things will happen. You'll know when our content is out Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. You'll be the first one to see it. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnRavens and my personal account at ChaosShirker34. But with all that being said, let's get right into the general Ravens news, notes, and quotes. And yesterday was the skills competition in the Pro Bowl, and the AFC had some good moments, Ravens had some good moments, and some Ravens had some bad moments as well. So let's talk about the bad first, just to get it out of the way. In the skills competition, Lamar Jackson only scored 2 points in the precision passing. He only hit 2 targets on a total of 17 passes, and part of that was he was trying to hit the farthest targets, and he was asked about it. He said, quote, "a lot of bad throws and a little wind with me." He did say it was all good, though. So at least this is something that doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. He might get a little hate because of it, but he's used to it. I mean, Ravens fans are used to it. It's the Pro Bowl. It's ridiculous. If there's any hate or any speculation that comes out of that, as always, not a quarterback, just throw that all away. But the good for the Ravens, in the best hands competition, the AFC won, and Mark Andrews caught passes from Lamar Jackson. He finished with quite a few catches. He had one-handed catches, over-the-shoulder catches, and he did it all in 49 seconds, which was the second best time. And then also in the thread the needle competition, Lamar Jackson, he tied for second with 12 points. He had 4 3-pointers, and Russell Wilson finished in first place with 16 points. Kirk Cousins had 12, and then Deshaun Watson had 9. So it was a fun day at the Pro Bowl. A lot of fun being had from Ravens players. Earl Thomas said that this was a time for him to not only spend time with family, but to go over things with coaches as well. He said in an interview that players don't really have that time with coaches as the season goes on, just because the fact of the matter is during the season, it's busy and they're preparing week in and week out. They can't really go over last week's tendencies quite as much as they probably want to. So Earl Thomas has been talking with coaches, talking about situational things and letting that be kind of what fuels him for next year and what he can take into next year. So I'm glad that Earl is both having fun but also taking it from a bit of a strategic side as well. But Lamar Jackson yesterday, when asked about the Super Bowl, he said again, quote, "I'm not going to be watching it. My team isn't in it," end quote. I mean, Lamar was very hurt from that postseason loss to the Titans, you know, in an article done by Jeff Zriebeck of The Athletic, which if you haven't, you should go read. It's a fantastic read. He said that he was depressed, he was hurt, he didn't want to do anything for a few days, and I'm sure a lot of Ravens fans felt that same way. I know I did. I was very upset for a few days, but you know, now Lamar is happy, he's joking, and I'm glad that he is. And something that I really took away from yesterday's quotes from Lamar Jackson, one that really made me excited and really further cemented my already cemented opinion that Lamar Jackson is going to improve even more in the offseason, is where he said he spoke to Michael Vick 2 days ago, and he said, quote, "one thing he's satisfied with is that I'm going to train early rather than wait for training camp and get back to it. I'm going to get back to it so I can be prepared," end quote. This is exactly what I was talking about yesterday. Lamar Jackson knows that he has areas he can improve in, and just waiting until training camp wouldn't really do a lot of good for him. Now, obviously, he would improve in training camp, but he wants to build off of things that he improved over the offseason with, over March, over February, over May, things where he can go take the time by himself, train with who he wants to, you know, train with friends, train with family, have fun with it, you know, a relaxed environment for his training where he can identify areas of his game where he can get better, do it with people he normally wouldn't be training with, but still, I'm assuming people who are high quality receivers, high quality trainers, regardless. But he can identify those things and do it at his own pace. But for Lamar Jackson, that pace is rapid. It is rapid, rapid, rapid. He wants to get better and better and better at a very rapid rate. So I'm not worried about Lamar Jackson necessarily coming into training camp unprepared, especially because of this quote from him. He says that, you know, something that Michael Vick was extremely satisfied is the fact that I'm going to get back in the lab and just do things the right way. Take the hard road, and instead of having it all come easy to me and then, you know, maybe not being the best that I can be, Lamar Jackson's going to make sure that he can be the best thing that he can be. So the fact that he is telling people that he's going to do this, and he's obviously going to do it. He did it last offseason. I'm so excited for what Lamar Jackson is going to bring to the field for Baltimore, both with his improved skills as a passer and just as a football player in general, but then also with the new weapons he's going to get. The Ravens are more than likely going to take a receiver in this upcoming NFL draft. They're probably going to sign a veteran or two. Lamar Jackson's going to have even more weapons than last year. And one of his weapons that was on the team this year in Hollywood Brown wasn't even playing at 100%. And Lamar Jackson said he was extremely impressed with the way that Hollywood played. He said, quote, "Even though he was hurt with his foot, he still felt like he should be Julio already. I told him, bro, you're good. Your foot is not already 100% and you're making plays. This year, he's going to be dangerous," end quote. Hollywood Brown was a phenomenal, phenomenal pick by Baltimore. Now, in that whole receiver class in the 2019 draft, it was so deep. You had guys like Hollywood Brown, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Terry McLaurin. You know, the list really goes on and on and on. But Brown is just such a fit for this Ravens offense. And there were concerns with him coming out of school with his foot injury, his small stature. He only stands at 5'9", 170. But he had 46 receptions for 584 yards and 7 touchdowns. He averaged 12.7 yards per carry. But his impact really does go beyond the stat sheet, something that I talked about all season long. The fact that teams have to bring a safety over to cover over the top, and that left the middle of the field open for guys like Mark Andrews to just run a simple slant and sit down in the middle of the field, or run a simple curl route and just sit. Mark Andrews, Hayden Hurst, Nick Boyle, even guys like Willie Snead, they took advantage of Hollywood's presence because they could just send him straight on a fly route, and they would have to respect his speed and bring that safety over. But Marquise Brown was really only at 60-70% this season. With another full offseason to recover from his injuries, and when he comes back in 100%, he's going to be a problem. He was flat out flying with his injury, and, you know, I can only imagine how painful it is to kind of do things with a foot injury when your primary goal and your primary asset is your foot. So the fact that Hollywood was able to do all that for Lamar Jackson, he was able to come in and not really do a lot in the preseason, but then get into game action and turned it up in his first game. 147 yards, 2 touchdowns on just 4 receptions in his first game. And then in a second game, 8 receptions for 86 yards. He was doing things that we thought that maybe that was going to be Marquise Brown's second season, because he was going to be kind of spending time rehabbing that foot. They weren't going to be playing him a lot, but he did so much for this Ravens offense, and I'm really excited to see what he can do in a second season in a Ravens uniform. We are going to go to break now, but when we come back, we're going to be getting into the first segment of our Free Agency Friday, talking about the Ravens offense, who was a free agent, and talking about who they could bring back and who they might let go. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. But before we do that, Blue Chew brings the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free. When you use our special promo code LOCKEDON, just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Welcome back to the second segment of this Locked on Ravens episode. Kevin Ostreicher still with you here, and we just got into some Ravens news, notes, and quotes from the Pro Bowl, but Now we're going to take this to another level and talk about Free Agency Friday, but not who the Ravens could bring in from other teams, but who the Ravens have on the books, or I should say off the books, for free agency, who's a free agent from Baltimore who was a part of the team this year. Talk about who they should bring back, who they should maybe let go, and some other guys who could be surprise cuts, surprise guys who they bring back. So we're going to start off with the offense. And now on offense, the Ravens actually don't have a lot of free agents. Only one starter from the Ravens offense this year is going to be a free agent, and that's Matt Skura. And he's a restricted free agent. Now, going down the list on offense, we have wide receiver Seth Roberts, wide receiver DeAnthony Thomas, wide receiver Chris Moore, guard Parker Ainger, center Jonas Grasu, center Matt Skura, running back Gus Edwards, who is an exclusive rights free agent, guard Randon Cresselis, and right tackle Andre Smith. Now, out of all those guys, as I just mentioned, Matt Skura is the only starter. He suffered a gruesome knee injury in the game against the Los Angeles Rams, but I fully expect the Ravens to bring him back. He showed a lot. He showed me a lot. He was a guy who I was actually pretty down on. I didn't really think he was a great fit in this offense. I didn't think he was the best blocker. Well, he proved me absolutely wrong, and I am so glad that he did. He had a down year in his first season replacing Ryan Jensen, but worked hard in the offseason, came in looking a little bigger in terms of muscle, came in looking a little more agile on his feet, and that translated right over to the play, so I fully expect Matt Skura to be back. Gus Edwards is another guy who I expect will be back, and I expect the Ravens to try to sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal at a relatively good contract in terms of salary. If they offer him a 4 year $20 million deal, 4 year $16 million deal, that's benefiting for both sides. Now, I think that if Edwards sticks it out and says, look, I only want to come on a 2 year deal, I think he could get some big money as an unrestricted free agent. But I think Gus Edwards, like Baltimore, the Ravens love Gus Edwards. So I think that that's really a match made in heaven there. In terms of the receivers, DeAnthony Thomas, Chris Moore, Seth Roberts, this is where it gets a little more tricky because I personally don't see these three guys in a Ravens uniform once training camp opens. Now, I can potentially see the Ravens bringing back Seth Roberts. Out of those three guys, that's the most likely one for me just because he did show some flashes. And, you know, coming into training camp last year, Seth Roberts was a guy where they kind of brought him on with Michael Floyd to be veteran presences, and it was kind of something where, all right, one of these two guys is probably going to make it. Michael Floyd impressed in the preseason, but Seth Roberts really didn't play, but in training camp, when he wasn't injured, Seth Roberts put on an absolute show. The Ravens decided to go with Roberts, and the rest is history. Roberts did pretty well for himself considering the circumstances, was a reliable target for Lamar Jackson, caught a few tough touchdown passes, came up with the nickname Freaky L, so he'll always have that contribution to Baltimore. But when you look at it, you look at that costly drop in the divisional round, and that's what Ravens fans are remembering. And look, you can't just talk about the one negative play and wipe out all the positives that Seth Roberts did have for this Ravens team. He did provide a steady veteran presence in the locker room for the receivers, such as Marquise Brown, Miles Boykin. But he's the one who I can see the Ravens bringing back if they were to bring back those three. I really don't think DeAnthony Thomas is going to come back. He didn't really impress as a returner, and he did do a pretty good job at fair catching when the time called upon it for him to do so. Didn't fumble, but there were a few penalties he had where he would block after signaling for a fair catch, and those were penalties. Didn't really do a lot when he did have the opportunity to return, and the return game really has not been the same ever since Jacoby Jones left Baltimore. Merkel Campanero, if people remember that name, had one big year for the Ravens as a returner, but other than that, the Ravens have had a stalemate at returner for a while. The Ravens just need to find a returner. I don't think DeAnthony Thomas is that guy. Chris Moore is a guy, a fourth-round pick out of Cincinnati all those years ago, it feels like, and you know, John Brown called him the best receiver in the Ravens receiver room last offseason, but things just have not gone Chris Moore's way in Baltimore. He hasn't really found a clear path for playing time. He only had 3 receptions for 21 yards total during this season. Over his career, he has 47 receptions for 511 yards and 4 touchdowns, so not that inspiring for the Ravens to bring him back. Now, he is valuable on special teams as a gunner, but I personally don't think that alone is going to be enough for the Ravens to bring him back. They can find value for people who can contribute both as a gunner and on the field at a position on offense or defense. You looked at that, you know, they had star players playing special teams for some of the season. Marlon Humphrey got special teams action. Matthew Judon got special teams action. Those three receivers, I don't see them coming back, personally. You look at the backup linemen, Parker Ehinger, Jonas Grasu, Andre Smith, Brandon Chrysalis. These are guys I also don't really expect back. The Ravens could bring back Ehinger. I think they saw something in him. They promoted him to the active roster. Later in the year, he ended up going on injured reserve. Andre Smith came on for literally less than a week. Brandon Chrysalis was a guy who got injured. Grasu was the guy who they brought on once Matt Skura got hurt is for that center experience. He was with the team last season as well. I don't see those guys coming back. I think the Ravens are going to start to integrate Ben Powers into the offensive game plan. Whether it be Marshall Yanda retires and Powers is inserted into the lineup, or Marshall Yanda decides to come back, I think that Ben Powers is going to be that extra lineman activated, that kind of last guy, because they like him. He's kind of a project, so I think he'll definitely improve as his career goes on. You know, they got him. He's a mauler. He's the guy who likes to see the life go out of his opponent's eyes in the fourth quarter. That was one of his more famous quotes in a Ravens uniform right after he was drafted. So I think Ben Powers is going to be the guy for Baltimore. So I don't necessarily think that the Ravens need any backup linemen. They might be camp bodies that could bring them back for training camp, but I don't think they're going to be on the roster per se. Not a lot of people on offense, so we're going to go to break, and when we get back, we're going to be talking about the defense. There are a lot more guys on the defensive side of the ball, so stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. But before we do that, are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, and take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.a-g today. You play, you win, and you get paid. Welcome back to the final segment of this Locked on Ravens Purple Friday episode. Kevin Ostrich is still hanging with you here, and we just got into the Ravens offense, who are going to be free agents from the team this year, who they should bring back, who they shouldn't. But now we're going to get into the defense, and this is a lot more content to cover. The Ravens have quite the number of free agents on the defensive side of the ball, and just running down the list. Cornerbacks Jimmy Smith and Brandon Carr are both free agents, although Brandon Carr does have a club option, so if the team does decide to pick it up, he will be making $5.8 million. Defensive tackle Michael Pierce is a free agent. Inside linebacker Patrick Owosso, strong safety Anthony Levine, outside linebacker Pernell McPhee, defensive tackle Duma Tapeko, inside linebacker Josh Bynes, strong safeties Brendan Trowick and Jordan Richards, defensive tackle Justin Ellis, defensive tackle Jihad Ward, outside linebacker Matthew Judon, and safety Fish Smithson. The big ones there, Matthew Judon, Michael Pierce, Jimmy Smith, and Brandon Carr. Matthew Judon's the big fish, though. Judon has come on in his years in Baltimore. He's really improved and shown that he's more than just a pass rusher. He can also set the edge, and, I mean, team chemistry doesn't hurt as well, right? He's very in tune with the Ravens, loves his teammates. The Ravens love him. He's a guy who I would expect the Ravens to make a hard effort to bring back, but he's probably going to get Za'Darius Smith money, and it's a matter of if the Ravens think he's worth that. Now, do I think he's worth that? It's tough, but I do think he is. I mean, the Ravens need to come out of free agency with one pass rusher at least, whether it be Matthew Judon, because I do believe they're going to take one in the draft in the high rounds, first, second, third round. So they're going to have a lot of talent, but they just need to make sure that they can get somebody who can either replace Matthew Judon's value or just be Matthew Judon himself. Now, if the Ravens can get Jadeveon Clowney for a few dollars more, and Judon is a guy who got offered a huge contract that's maybe a little out of his value, then sure, yeah, I'll go with Jadeveon Clowney. If the Ravens can get Chandler Jones, yeah, Chandler Jones is a beast. If they can get Shaq Barrett, I'd probably have Judon instead of Shaq Barrett, personally. I also think Robert Quinn is a good name. The Ravens just have to make sure that they can get that Matthew Judon value. So I don't expect Matthew Judon to leave. I don't expect the franchise tag either, though. I don't think the Ravens are going to do that with Judon. That number would be very, very high. And on defense, the Ravens locked up Marcus Peters to a contract that pays him $20 million in the first year. And it's a $42 million contract. So that's an extremely smart front-loaded deal for Baltimore so that they can free up that cap space for next season and not have to pay Marcus Peters a ton of money when they have to re-sign guys like Ronnie Stanley. Another guy who I mentioned was a big name was Michael Pierce. And this is a guy who Spencer and I talked about a little bit on Tuesday. I personally don't think Michael Pierce returns to Baltimore. And I think that's because The Ravens having Michael Pierce and Brandon Williams absolutely is a luxury, but I think that the Ravens want to do something where they replace Michael Pierce with someone who can just rush the passer a little bit more from the inside. Michael Pierce is more of a run-stuffing defensive tackle. If the Ravens were to bring in a guy like in the Fletcher Cox mold in the draft, Spencer's mentioned Derek Brown, Javon Kinlaw. In free agency, I've talked about Chris Jones. That type of player would be an ideal fit next to Brandon Williams. And I also don't think the Ravens are going to run their two-gap system as much next season. I would hope they play a little bit more base defense. Two-gap systems are kind of dying out in the NFL. Now, it has worked for Baltimore, but I think they can be a lot more effective when they use their base defense just a little bit more. So I don't expect Michael Pierce to come back. But looking at those two defensive backs at the top of the list here, Jimmy Smith and Brandon Carr, Jimmy Smith has made it known that he has made a lot of money in his career, and that's not at the forefront of his mind right now. He said he loves Baltimore, he wants to be in Baltimore, and I think the Ravens are going to bring him back to Baltimore. Now, of course, the age has to be right. There is no question in the world that the Ravens' starting cornerbacks going into next season are going to be Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey on the outside and Tavon Young in the slot. But when you look at a backup cornerback, Jimmy Smith is no chum. He is one of the best backups in the league. He's still a starting caliber player. So if you can have that depth, and I've talked about it, I talked about it from one of the first weeks I started hosting this show. The Ravens love their depth in the defensive backfield. They love having the rotation to keep their players fresh. And if they can keep that going with Jimmy Smith and something that has worked so well for them, I do believe that they will do it as long as the price is right. Now, for Brandon Carr, it's a little trickier. I don't think the Ravens bring him back at his $5.8 million salary. But I think that they like Brandon Carr in the locker room. They like him as a leader, as a veteran presence. So I think, again, it's just is the money right situation. Carr has proven his versatility over the last few years. He played some safety, slot cornerback, dime linebacker. He's a jack-of-all-trades guy, a guy who I think the Ravens would like to bring back. So I expect both Jimmy Smith and Brandon Carr back, but for a lot less than the money that they made last season. I'm looking at the other guys. Anthony Levin is a guy who's been a core special teamer for Baltimore for years. I do expect him to be back. Owosso, I don't expect to be back. I think that he's kind of run his course in Baltimore. Unfortunately, he was given the green dot, given a lot more responsibilities, and just couldn't fill the void up. They had to bring in Josh Bynes and LJ Fort to kind of fill up that gap that Patrick Owosso wasn't filling. In terms of Josh Bynes, I think they could bring him back as a veteran presence. I really liked him. I think he performed very well in the Will linebacker role, so I think that he will. Pernell McPhee could also be back in a cheap role on a veteran minimum contract. He had a lot of spunk in his action before he went down with an injury. Demetal Peko and Justin Ellis. I don't see Ellis back. Peko could come back. He had a few moments in Baltimore. Didn't overly impress anyone, but solid big guy, can eat up the run. And you see with Michael Pierce, Ellis, Brandon Williams, and Peko, those are four guys whose skill sets are primarily the same. So if you let Pierce walk, if you let Ellis walk, then I think Peko could come back as a guy who has that run-stuffing prowess. Guys like Brendan Trawick and Jordan Richards I could see also being back for their special teams value. Trawick is one of the best special teamers in the NFL. Richards had some moments in Baltimore as well. Jihad Ward I fully do expect back. The Ravens gave him a shot and he performed very well in his role. And then Fish Smithson, a guy who the Ravens signed to the practice squad, went to injured reserve, didn't really do a lot for them. I really don't expect him to be back. He didn't really do a lot in Baltimore. But so there are a lot of guys on the defensive side of the ball who the Ravens have to make some decisions on. And so those are my opinions on who they should bring back, who they should let go, why they should do it. But the Ravens have a lot of decisions ahead. We are going to take a break for 2 days, but when we come back on Monday, we'll be reviewing the Pro Bowl for the Ravens, how the players performed, and more. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you on Monday.